So I figured this time I would actually tell you when I'm starting the episode so I don't just spring this on you like I usually do.
Well, I'm just sitting
you're in the middle of a story.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't even talking. I was looking at my Twitter feed.
I know, I figured maybe I'll just start it and tell him that I'm starting it.
That's fine.
Instead of doing the absolute opposite like I always do.
Like you always do, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're back.
Yeah.
And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome to the show. I don't know how you found us here, but we are happy to have you. So welcome to the show. If it's your first time listening to the show, the concept of the show is that JD and I reached out to basically our social media presences individually and said, hey, ask us pretty much anything you want to ask us and we will answer it. And so we got a bunch of questions and we are in the process of answering all of those questions.
Yeah, and we've answered pretty much all of the ones we've been asked. That's not even true. We have like 9 more.
Have you checked our email recently?
Yeah, I just barely did. Nobody emails us.
Yeah. If you want to ask us questions and you do not follow us on social media, what do they email?
JD and Tanner talk about stuff at Gmail.
Yep. That's what you email. So anyway, I'm...
We have 10.
I am completely out of emails.
Questions.
I'm completely out of questions. There's no more that I can answer.
We have 10 left, and I honestly don't want to go into a 30-minute discussion on any of them.
Okay, let's
join unless this. You do. So we'll just take them one at a time.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
And we're just going to see how many of these we get through.
We've set like a tentative time limit, but we've done that before, and we usually don't follow it.
Yeah, no, so I don't pay any attention to clocks.
So we're going to start with the
very first question we were asked on this set, which we haven't answered yet.
All right.
What's your favorite sweet breakfast, like French toast or Pop-Tarts?
Danishes.
I like toaster strudel.
Like, particularly raspberry Danishes. I love raspberry Danishes.
I like bagels.
That's not sweet, though.
With sweet cream cheese.
That's good.
See?
I love cream cheese. Cream cheese is legitimately one of my favorite, like... What would you... Spread. It's a spread.
It's a spread.
Although it can also be an ingredient.
Yeah, so can literally anything.
Yeah, but I forget. My bottom line, I love cream cheese a lot.
Cream cheese is
but
nice.
Sweet breakfast, Danishes. Yeah. I could eat Danishes, like the big ones, like the
muffins.
Big Danishes. Not like the bag
poppy
ones.
Seed muffin.
Like, you know those lame bag ones that are like crusty? Like,
yeah, no, I know what you're
no,
talking
not
about.
The, I'm talking like the big pastry Danishes. Oh, they're so good. With icing over the top of them.
Pecan pie.
Is that a breakfast?
No, but it's good.
Yeah, it is good.
All right, next question.
Carry on.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading a couple actually right now.
Okay.
I'm reading one that's called The Atlantis Code by Charles Brokaw. Very interesting, very Da Vinci Code-esque. But a little bit more super of like the supernatural side.
Sorry, I'm laughing because I just realized the two things I'm reading are just so far on opposite ends of the spectrum of things to read.
Delicious. And also, I'm reading the story of Edgar Sawtell. Sawtell, I guess you could say. I don't remember who that's by. It's over there on the thing, but I don't want to go get it. But it so far, it's one of the most beautiful stories I've ever read in my entire life. And that's saying something because I've read a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are the two things I'm reading right now.
Sweet. I'm reading a psychological study called The Adult Children of Divorce.
You're still reading that?
I kind of take hiatuses sometimes and then go back and start over.
Okay, and what have you learned?
Well, we can't even get started now.
Okay.
Otherwise,
we wouldn't even answer the questions that we were asked.
We wouldn't answer the questions we're asked. We just start talking about my wonderful friends whose parents separated when they were young. And the deep and lasting psychological trauma and behaviors that have come from that, that they may not have even noticed they are going through. And
do you feel like people could consider that like an invasion of privacy, that suddenly you know so much more about them than they know about themselves?
Sure, but that doesn't matter to me.
Okay, like, what else are you reading?
I didn't read this to respect their privacy. I read this to understand their behavior.
I know what else you're reading. I just want you to say it.
Yeah, so I'm reading... For the last couple of years, I've been actively keeping up with My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
And I, over the last like 4 days, read all of Beastars, but there's one chapter that hasn't been translated into English yet. So I guess now I'm waiting.
What is Beastars?
That's such a hard question to answer.
Well, okay, so what no, is what the is reason my, it's what hard is, to what answer? What is My Hero Academia and how is it tied to Beastars?
They're not tied together.
Then why did you start with that?
Because I'm reading both of them.
No, so they're the same genre, correct?
No. That's not a genre. They're graphic novels.
That's what I meant. Like, are they both mangas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're both graphic novels. My Hero Academia is about a kid that's a superhero and a bunch of other superheroes that are in like a school for superheroes beating up bad guys. And I think it has really good character development, and I like the art and I like the story. And you know, I have some weebish tendencies, but I don't talk about them too much.
Yeah, I was really working to try to get you to talk about those, but I could tell that you were kind of skirting around as much as you could.
It's because it's like not like an actual personality trait. It's like, like it's not something that I like base any aspect of my personality around. I literally never talk about it. I just like in the privacy of my own home enjoy anime. And I refuse to speak of it anywhere except with like my friends that I know I could get to watch things. Right? But Beastars is a lot harder to explain. Not because like it's complex, because to be frank, it's not. It's just weird.
So is it not necessarily hard to explain? It's just you don't want to explain.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Okay, carry on.
So Beastars is about animals that are... It's like this alternate world where there's no humans and it's like anthropomorphic animals for the most part.
Fascinating.
No insects and fish are kind of still fish.
Nice.
But then you've got like all the, like, you know, land creatures and birds and stuff are like... basically the people of this world.
It's freaking awesome.
It's super weird. Right, like I was like super opposed to it until Brett got me to watch it, and he started the first episode and I was like, dude, this is weird. And then we got through the first episode and I was like, okay, hold on, now I have questions that I need answers to. And then I watched the whole season that's exists right now and I was like, okay, it didn't answer enough of my questions and I'm not patient enough to wait for them to make more of this show. So I read the whole thing.
Nice.
Because of my lack of patience. But it's like, it follows this wolf that is, it starts like following like these kids in high school. The main character being a wolf named Legoshi. Who, I know you're laughing at me, but so they're, it like, I don't know. It just follows all these like weird plots. It starts with like this alpaca gets murdered and eaten by one of his classmates, but you don't know who it is. And then it's like this, it takes forever for them to get into that.
I love that it's an alpaca.
Dude, yeah, Tem gets eaten in the school.
Tem the alpaca.
Yeah, and it's like, they're in like the drama club. I'm gonna be honest with you. So I like saw screenshots and stuff. I saw screenshots of like the show and like people saying weird stuff. I kid you not, I thought it was about cops. And then I started watching it. I was like, wait, this is like the high school students, like the manga cops. Yeah, I was like, this is like high school students in a drama club and they're dealing with like putting on a play and like
But wait, they're all animals.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. And they're dealing with the fact that like
it's the kind of thing where like
the carnivores still want to give
visual human traits to animals.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like you can tell like
hands and feet.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking
and it's like the body structure.
You know, in Finding Dory, they give Dory's dad a receding hairline, which is it that kind of stuff where they give human traits to a, like they give like certain human structure to the body of an animal.
Sort of.
That's kind of terrifying, to be honest.
Bro, it's so good. I just showed him a picture.
Yeah. Okay.
But so yeah, it's just freaking weird. And I really enjoy it. And if you are one of my friends and you don't know what it is and you're like, hey, maybe I should go into this. Why don't you talk to me a little bit before you take that
before
step.
Before you take that leap into diving feet first into something.
Into Beastars.
Into Beastars.
Like, it's Brett's fault I even watched it. Yeah. But it's freaking good.
All right. Moving on. Next question.
I forgot that I had to have these pulled up and I scrolled through my photos to find you a screenshot.
Of Beastars.
Because they say funny stuff, so I...
You send those over the group chat
sometimes, when I'm reading manga and they make really funny jokes, or like have stupid facial expressions, I'll screenshot it so I can send it to people.
That's what I've been wondering, like, what is all this?
like the RAM that's like, dang, you look like hell. Yeah. No, you're looking ugly as hell.
Yeah, you said that to us. I was like, wait, what?
That was so funny to me.
And when he said and that, like, I'm sure you understand all these characters and like,
you don't have to understand the characters,
how they like fit into the world and stuff, and then you send those to us.
No, you don't have to understand them, because those things are way funnier out of context than in context.
And the funny thing is, there are memes that you send us that still make no sense to me, really, but I still find them funny.
Yeah, that's...
And so that's kind of the category that all of that fits into.
Yeah,
is that
like, I don't know if I actually found that.
Like, I don't get it, and I don't know if you actually found it funny, but for some reason you thought I should send this to the group chat.
Oh, I don't think I sent it. I keep finding jokes that I'm going to, like, send and then tag Drew. Like how I keep sending the Goku video. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
I keep sending a video where it's somebody doing like a really crappy Goku impression, and he says, "I heard your porn addiction is strong.
Yeah,
you let me fight it." I keep sending that and tagging Drew.
Okay, what's the next question?
Why does rain rain and snow snow?
Well, that's everything to do with the water cycle and the seasons.
Well, so they're not necessarily verbs. Like you can't, like it's weather.
Are they saying why do things precipitate?
No, so they're saying why is rain raining and snow snowing? Why does rain not snow? And the answer is because if rain were snowing, then it would be snow that's snowing, not rain that's snowing.
Yes, and rain...
And if snow were raining, then you get hail.
Yes, that is true.
So snow can rain, snow
can rain, but it can't rain because then it's hailing.
Yeah, but all squares are rectangles, and not all rectangles are squares. Is what I'm saying.
I don't think that's the... I don't think that totally fits into this conversation that we're having.
It does the way I'm talking about it.
I see what you're doing here,
but I don't
think it works.
You and I are reading different translations of the same book.
I don't think it works.
I am reading the original text was translated by like 5 different people, and you're reading one translation, and I'm reading a different translation.
And we both think we're right.
And I'm objectively correct.
One time, JD and I were playing video games, and sometimes I'll play this game with myself. I'll play this game with myself. We play a cooperative game, and I'll play this game where I'll say, how far will JD go to try to prove that he was in the right and everyone else was in the wrong?
Because I've never been in the wrong. If I'm in the wrong, I immediately own up to it.
And JD will go pretty far because... He very rarely says that he was in the wrong.
It's because I'm very rarely in the wrong. And when I am, I immediately own up to it.
Yeah, when he's in the wrong, he makes sure he beats everybody to saying he was wrong so no one else says it first.
It's because as soon as I recognize it, I have to address it. Because I'm right so often that people hold it over me when they realize I'm wrong. So if I'm not quick to it, then everybody's like, oh, you were wrong. And it's like, how many wrong things did you say in the 10-year span it took for me to be wrong once? A million. Do I give you a hard time about it? No, not until you start making me feel dumb for being smarter than you.
You're making these sound waves go crazy.
Because I'm getting flustered.
Anyway, that's a game I play sometimes, and it's really fun.
Yeah, not for me.
If you ever want to play Deep Rock Galactic, you'll hear me do it. Because I do it at least once every time
Literally,
we play.
Literally. Like, I got to a point where we were doing a mission, and, like, I was getting blamed for all this crap, and it's like, I was behaving a little bit rashly, which I, like, was willing to admit at the time. But, like, Tanner and Drew were also being just absolutely arslered the whole time. And I get, like, everybody, like, jumped on the, helped Tanner, like, accuse me of being wrong trained for the first time ever. So suddenly it's like, I know that I'm not that in the wrong.
I know, you didn't know how to deal with it, and so there was a silence.
I literally stopped talking for half an hour.
You did, and then there was a silence, and out of nowhere, and then, like, suddenly there was another silence when we all stopped talking, and then you just hear JD go, Tanner, I can say things that will break you.
And I choose not to.
It was so funny.
I think them.
I know it wasn't funny for you, but it was really funny for me and for Drew and for Brett.
Yeah, I'm so glad that everybody has a good time at my expense.
Anyway, what's the next question?
I feel like an idiot, but how does wind work?
We purposefully skipped over this question once so we could research it.
And I did.
Oh, great. I didn't.
Cool. So wind works because air molecules, they move around really fast. They want to occupy as much space individually as they can.
Yeah.
And when there's a pressure shift, low to high pressure or high to low pressure, the air molecules are going to rush into the lower pressure zone where there's more space for them to be. So wind is literally just the constant movement of energy trying to go where everything else isn't. But because they're all in the same spot, they're all not in the same spot too. So they're all going in the same direction.
So it's all diffusion. Like, that's what it is.
Basically. Where, so what you're feeling is the movement of energy.
Yeah. I think that's the right term. Diffusion. Where, like, something moves from an area of low concentration to... area of high concentration. High, yeah. That's diffusion, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that is. I think it's
called diffusion. Have to look it up because I don't care.
Yeah. And so it's basically like low pressure systems will come in, meaning there's a storm coming.
Right. And so then, when you're in a low pressure system, you know a storm's coming because it's a low pressure system.
Yeah.
So all the molecules want to rush over to there.
Yeah. And that's why it's so windy.
That's how we can even track the weather is because we can track the pressure.
So that's why it's so windy right before a storm is because there's all of this.
Right. They're dragging the storm with them.
Yeah. So the low pressure system doesn't actually cause a storm. The wind is what causes a storm. The wind pushes everything into the air.
Yeah, the wind is just dragging the storm behind it because of the movement.
So it's not that a storm brings a low pressure system, it's that a low pressure system brings a storm.
More accurately, yeah, I think.
Yeah, because the wind will push the wind will try to fill that area. The wind will push all of a bunch of like water in the atmosphere over to that area that creates a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I learned something new today.
Yeah.
Cool.
Back in Jamaica, by the way, this is a weird thing.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a very highly adaptable person.
You are.
When I was in Jamaica, I would talk to the locals about weather patterns and like how to read the weather. Because they always seemed to know when it was going to rain or when like the weather was going to change and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I had them explain to me how to like read the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of missionaries could do this, to be fair. But I would wake up in the morning, and one of the first things I'd do is I'd look out all the windows in the house, and I'd be able to tell my companion if it was going to rain that day and what direction the rain would come from and how heavy it would be raining. And when I was training new missionaries, they'd always be amazed that I was like this weird shaman that would just like...
You were like this
I'd like open up the window and I'd look to the like east and I'd be like, we're going to have a really heavy storm today. It's probably going to drop down to the mid-70s. And then it would be raining for hours.
You're like this shaman that's like been in the mission field for 900 years and like you already know the land and everything.
Yeah, so it's just like... That was just one of those fun things that I was thinking about recently. Is it's like, I don't care about that at all here.
Yeah.
But in like if I were... I think I can read the Caribbean sky.
That's cool.
So, like, I could tell you if there's going to be bad weather in the Caribbean.
Yo, when the world opens back up, we should go on a cruise in the Caribbean.
Bro, that's such a cheap thing for us to do. We might as well.
That sounds fun.
And, like, because my life is so non-committal, mm-hmm. I have infinite time to do whatever I feel like. Like, straight up, my job with my dad.
Yeah.
I could do that from the Caribbean.
Yeah, you could.
If I was willing to pay for international call fees.
Which, I mean, with the money that you'd be making.
From the job?
Yeah.
Right? Work. I mean, how much does it cost to make a 30-minute phone call internationally?
Actually, maybe a lot. But then, I mean,
Caribbean's technically not...
And the money that you would make from the call would basically pay for the call. So,
right,
so it would be fine.
Worst case scenario, I'm not missing work.
Yeah.
I just make no money for a week. Which is also fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, if it's like, hey, I mean, it's just stuff that you figure out.
Right? Yeah, okay. Move on to the next question.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, I have a lot.
Well, just start going.
I can't say that one on the air, I don't think.
Well, whisper it to
it's,
me.
It's a it's a political one. You know, I'll just pause it and I'll tell you. I'll just pause it.
Okay, so we
talked about it. I'm going to say it. I like listening to Alex Jones. It's my guilty pleasure, mostly because I find it funny. And mostly, and actually, this is actually totally honest, is that... it has helped me start to really practice not just taking everything I hear from someone who seems to be in a position of authority objectively and like as objective fact.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like we grew up in a time when media basically, like we grew up believing that like media and things we hear on social media are correct. Like, that's the time that we grew up in. That's like...
I got broken young.
Here's the thing is, our brains are trained to think that way.
So I got broken really young, because in, like, early middle school, late elementary school, I read something and I was like, that's so cool. It was, like, something about, like, a guy that could, like, control energy and start fires with it.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing. And I went and told somebody about that, and they laughed at me and said, that sounds fake and stupid. And I've never trusted the media since that one moment I felt dumb.
That's the thing. You look around at everybody around us. Pretty much 75% of the people that you see on the internet and that we are now friends with on the internet, if you feed them, you can literally make something up You can make anything up. And
can I give you an example, actually?
No, I'm still talking. And you can form it to fit their bias.
Sure.
Whatever it is. So, like, let's say there's somebody we know who hates Joe Biden or something. And we can say, no, it's too inflammatory.
It would take me less than 5 minutes to edit an image of Joe Biden, you know, sniffing a kid. There's plenty of pictures of that.
Yeah.
With Jeffrey Epstein in the background. That would take me 5 minutes to put together. And I could send that to somebody and be like, dude, this is real. And they'd be like, holy crap, Joe Biden and Epstein. And that,
same thing as like saying somebody who hates Donald Trump. You could like edit a picture or something, or even just a fact. Just say Donald Trump admits that he was on Epstein Island for 6 weeks one time, and he did horrible things. And you can show them and say, look, the media is not covering this. Look, this is true. And they'd be like, oh my gosh. And they would literally start just spreading it all over social media. Like, because it fits their bias.
Well, and you don't have to research it.
Yeah. And our brains, like in this technological age, we have been raised to think this way, where someone says something that fits our bias, it's automatically true. Because we're so indoctrinated into this like creating an echo chamber for ourselves on social media.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I was going with that. What was the question?
Guilty pleasure. You were talking about Alex Jones.
Oh, Alex Jones. Yeah. So what
Can I give you a real world example really quick though?
Yeah, sure.
So this isn't like a political bias thing, but it's just like people take things at face value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a fact. Brett and I walk into the gym, we're both wearing masks. Brett works there.
Yeah.
Okay? These are his coworkers. One of them looks at us and says, are you two brothers? And Brett and I at the same time said, yes. And I said, then they were like, really? And I was like, half brothers. And they still believe it. Like to this day, right?
Yeah.
Because people just take what you say at face value. Brett and I, if we took the masks off, do not look similar. With masks on, we have a really similar nose and eyes. And that's it.
Yeah.
And they bought that.
So the reason I like listening to Alex Jones, to be totally honest, is because I like to listen to him sometimes like while I'm driving or sometimes while I'm like playing video games or something. And I like to sift through things he says and be able to train my brain to say I know for a fact that that's not true or that doesn't sound true to me. And then I research something myself. I either find it to be true or sometimes he'll say something that's correct. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. There's evidence to support that statement. And that's honestly why I listen to him. It's not necessarily because I like to fill my head with all of the information he gives out and just say, this is objective fact. But I like to sift through things that he says and say, okay, that doesn't seem true to me. And so now, since I started listening to him, I'm able to get on social media more and be able to see things and automatically know that they are not fact and or see things that don't feel true and be able to research them for myself.
Yeah.
As opposed to before, when I saw something that didn't feel true, I would still usually believe it because I'd be like, well, it's going viral on social media, so it must be true. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest lies on social media is if something goes viral and 10,000 people like it or retweet it, it must be true.
I've seen tweets with hundreds of thousands of likes.
Isn't that freaky?
That are wrong.
Isn't that
like they said something that's actually just not true?
Isn't that horrifying that can happen? Like, that's terrifying. That goes beyond just like
I don't care what your political bias is or what you said. If it was wrong and you got like 500,000 likes, you are morally obligated to delete that tweet.
Well, and it's like people say things about Donald Trump that are objectively untrue. You know, he's not like the perfect guy. He's not been a perfect man his whole life. He has done bad things. I don't like when people say that he did certain things, like he raped children or something like that. It gets like 500,000 tweets. Retweets, they could literally be held like sued for libel for that.
Yeah, if he felt like it.
Yeah, if he felt like it, he totally could. And I think maybe it's a testament to his character that he doesn't, or maybe he's too busy.
He has the money that he could send somebody to stand in proxy and sue you for him.
It's true.
But you know, there's too many people saying that kind of thing too often.
And he doesn't need the money.
He doesn't. Well, he doesn't take his presidential salary. He donates all of it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need money. He doesn't want money. He doesn't care if you're dragging his name through the mud because you're keeping his name in your mouth. You're giving him publicity. If you don't like him, stop talking about him.
You're giving him so much power. You give him so much power by talking so much about him.
I try to avoid politics as a rule.
Yeah, so really to me, that's horrifying that people can do that on social media. Like, it's like, it goes beyond just being, like, that is a stupid thing that stupid people are doing. That scares me. That so many people can automatically believe something just because it fits their narrative that they want to be true. And so they retweet it and make sure that it gets onto the airwaves and all these people start believing all of this stuff. We're raising a generation of 10 to 12-year-olds who are getting on Twitter and just starting to believe all of this garbage that's being fed to them.
Yeah.
They're just believing that because they're like, somebody I don't know said it and it's going viral, so it must be true.
I mean,
that's horrifying.
And then people trust Google so much, and Google will actually suppress and get rid of search results that disagree with the narrative.
Yeah, with the narrative that they want to follow.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Like, there is information that I was unable to find on Google that you find instantly on things like DuckDuckGo and Bing, because Google actually, like, throttles your search results.
So when it comes down to it, yes, Alex Jones, I think, is pretty crazy. I think he's off the deep end a little bit, and he has been for a lot of years, but when somebody gets banned from so many platforms and they say you are not allowed to say the things that you've been saying, people like me get really curious about what they were saying because I'm a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. I'm not a theorist. I like conspiracy theories. I don't have most of my own theories.
Yeah.
So when somebody gets banned from that many things, there's got to be something interesting that they were saying that somebody somewhere doesn't want you to hear.
Yeah. And it's just weird.
So anyway,
my guilty pleasure is already been discussed, but I watch anime and read manga
in
the privacy of my own home.
What is your favorite anime?
Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
That's still on Netflix, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It's by far my favorite.
Yeah, you've told me to watch it a lot, and I just haven't because I started a new show recently.
Yeah, it's because I was like, hey, you're like, I'm going to watch One Piece. And I was like, if you're going to watch anime, first off, don't watch One Piece because it's too many episodes and it's still going.
You will consume your whole life with watching One
Piece. There's literally only 60 episodes of Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, like, no time at all to get through it. It tells a good story.
Are they, like, 20-minute episodes?
Yep.
Wow, that is pretty quick.
It's, like, 65 episodes. 5 seasons.
And it has good music?
Good music.
Okay, good anime music is an unsung hero.
Good music, good fights.
Yeah.
It's just overall good. My Hero Academia is kind of up there. Beastars is up there, too, now.
Mm-hmm.
I freaking loved Beastars. I didn't have any good reason to. I was just like, holy crap, this is so good.
Yeah.
Angel Beats is freaking sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's animated really poorly because it's old, but
yeah.
Like, I cried when I watched it.
Okay, but the thing is, I freaking love Castlevania.
I'm glad that you liked the show that you watched on a whim.
Yeah. And I will say that it is an anime because it is animated in that same style.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of anime purists who have fought me on that, and they'll say, no, it's not real anime.
Well, so it's in the same vein as the old Teen Titans cartoon being Western animation and Avatar The Last Airbender being Western animation.
Yeah.
However, those things are gateway drugs to more hardcore anime.
I love that you just said that. I think it's my favorite thing that you've said on this podcast. Will you write that down? Because I think that's great.
Hold on. I'm going to pull something up.
We're going to have to make a quote book of all the things that we've said on this podcast.
I'm being totally
honest. That is up there.
Somebody else do that.
I'll start it right now.
Oh, Brett and I also recently watched Megalobox, and I really liked that.
Hold on, I'm writing it down. I'm going to paraphrase if that's cool.
That's fine. I have a list here with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, I wrote it down. 7, Teen Titans 8, and Avatar The Last 9, Airbender 10. Are gateway drugs to more hardcore anime.
I have a list here that's 80 different anime recommendations.
Wow.
And I am willing to give all of them one full episode to impress me.
Fascinating.
And if they do, I will watch them. Because I have nothing but time and loneliness. If you want to...
Anyway, what's the next question?
Let me just scroll back and find it. so that's some of our guilty pleasures. If you want to know more, ask us this question again and we'll re-answer it with different answers.
Mine is Alex Jones and yours is anime. Ask us again in 6 months. It'll probably change.
I will probably still say anime, because I've said that for years.
Okay.
Our next question is dogs or cats debate.
Dogs. Dogs hand down. I'm sorry. Like,
no, that's fine.
There's really no debate for me on that.
No, because I don't consider it a debate topic because my answer is ambiguous.
Because I think cats are and it all comes down to biology. Cats were... cats have always been most... They either hunt alone or they hunt in very small packs, and dogs have always been pack animals, and so dogs are predisposed to be affectionate and to show affection for other beings. and cats are predisposed to literally be selfish, and I hate them.
So, that's an issue of breed.
Yeah.
For both.
What I'm saying is...
general.
Cats suck.
My deal is, it depends on the specific animal.
If you were to give me a lion as a pet, that'd be awesome.
So, when it comes down to it, I have two dogs right now.
Yes.
And one cat. I prefer the cat over both of those
dogs.
But
your dogs suck. Like,
right, which is why I say it's objective. Or subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective.
Because some dogs really suck.
Yeah.
And some cats really don't.
But here's the thing. With me, I've never met a cat that didn't suck. I hate cats.
My current cat doesn't suck.
I've never met your cat.
Well, that's because my cat was initially... Okay, pause this so I can tell you this story.
Okay.
Sorry, and, I didn't want to offend anybody with what I was saying about why my cat doesn't like people.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've known you for how many years?
Four.
How long have you had that cat? All the years that I've known you?
No. A couple of them, though.
Yeah, I'm going to be totally 100% honest. Up until this conversation, I don't think I knew that you had a cat.
I mean, that's fine.
That's wild to me.
She's really pretty. Ash.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, your dogs... I don't like... They're rats. I don't like them.
Yeah.
Like, but when it comes to...
My family went and took pictures on Sunday and they were puking in our car. And I was like, why are they even here?
But here's the thing. When it comes down to it, I rarely meet dogs that I don't like. I rarely meet dogs. I usually like every dog that I meet. I usually don't like cats. I rarely meet a cat that I actually like being around.
So, if I had to choose between having a pet cat or a pet dog, and I get to choose the breed,
mm-hmm.
I would choose a dog.
What kind of breed?
Usually a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
That's my go-to, mm-hmm. But there are other breeds that I think are absolutely gorgeous that I would like to own someday.
I want a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Ew, that is so hard to take care of.
I know, I want one so bad.
Well, I mean, I want a crow. But
like a bird crow?
Yeah.
You want a crow?
You can't own an American crow, though. It's illegal.
Can you own a different kind of crow?
Yeah.
What kind of crow?
African.
Where do you get one?
Breeders. They're like $9,000.
Oh, dang.
That's
a lot of dollars.
Yeah, you can get the white-necked raven, though, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous animal from Africa.
Why do you want a crow?
Because they're smart, and they're huge, and they're pretty. But they are so much work. And I don't have the finances to set up the enclosure. You need to set them up a huge, like, this room, right?
Would be your crow enclosure.
Outside, though.
Okay.
I would need that much space outdoors.
Okay.
That's a big cage.
And you have to furnish it
so he can fly.
You have to, like, furnish it.
He can live in the house with me.
Yeah.
But he needs this space where he's able to fly. And they can speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can imitate speech.
Yeah.
And they're big, and they're dark, and they're frightening, and they're beautiful. And I love, like, the symbolism. I've looked a lot into, like, the ownership, and you don't need any kind of permits for these. You're allowed to own it in Utah, but, you know, you need the enclosure. You need... The food's expensive. The poop smells awful. Like, I would need to have a stable job and an absolutely unstable mind or a wife that loves me very dearly and is willing to let me do this. But if it came down to it, I would want a dog over a cat. I'd be fine with having both, though. I have no problem with that. Just a million dogs, one cat, and a crow.
A million dogs, one cat, and a crow.
No, like two dogs, a cat, and a crow would be fine.
Two dogs, a cat, and a crow.
Mm-hmm.
Be like... straight up, Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
So but also, I have the perfect name for my next pet.
What's your name?
Absolutely perfect name.
For any pet?
It can't be a cat.
Okay. Any pet that's not a cat?
Yep.
Okay.
Zib the Time Cat.
What's the next question?
Well, that's an awesome name. You can't just brush that off like
that. I love
that.
How you said not a cat. Zib the Time Cat.
Yeah, that's so much funnier if it's like, that's my dog, Zib. His name's Zib? Oh, it's Zib the Time Cat. That's so funny. Or like a crow.
It's like this long running joke.
No, it's like, not even long running.
Like you have this. You know, like meet somebody who meets your dog. They're like, oh, his name is Zib. They just call it Zib for a long time. Then somebody like, hang on, I got hair in my mouth.
They like look at its little like dog tag on its collar and it says Zib the Time Cat.
Did you get this dog? Hang on, there's this hair in my mouth. It's driving me crazy.
You want me to tell you where Zig the Time Cat came from?
Sure.
Brett and I were playing Minecraft, and he was like, "You like that one game? What's it called? Zig the Time Cat? It's called Blinks the Time Sweeper." And I grabbed one of the name tags and I ran and I found a cow and I named it Zib the Time Cat, and it, like, I tied it up and I, like, put it in our bedroom. So, like, in our...
What was that game, Zib the Time Cat?
In our Minecraft Blinks world, the time we have sweeper. Zib the Time Cat, the cow, which, just because I needed to remember that name. But it's Blinks the Time Sweeper. It's a game where you play as a cat that has a vacuum cleaner and goes around killing monsters through time.
It's like Luigi's Mansion on a next level.
Yeah, it was a launch exclusive to the Xbox.
Like the OG Xbox?
Yeah, like it was a launch title.
Cool.
They wanted Blinks to be their icon.
Yeah, no, I've heard
of
that. I've heard Blinks the Time Cat. I've heard that name. I've heard of Blinks the Time Sweeper before. I almost said it again. But
it's a good game.
And I've seen the cover of it.
Well, actually, a lot of people hate that game. I liked it.
To me, it reminds me of
I'm a sadomasochist.
It reminds me of like Jack and Daxter. It reminds me of that kind of...
Yeah, it's
kind of
that vibe.
That kind of vibe. Yeah, like funny.
Bro,
action.
I have it if you want to try it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, are you a racist?
No.
Why not?
This goes on several levels.
No, we don't have to have this conversation.
No, I kind of want to.
Okay.
Because this goes on several levels. Because human beings are not objectively racist. We're tribal creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm a history teacher, I will teach this. I'm like, you know, I'm for like listeners, I'm studying to be a history teacher. I'm studying to teach high school. And I know that when I get to that point, our nation will be so divided, because it's already this divided. It's just going to get worse. I'm like almost sure of it. Like for the next 10, 20 years, it's just going to get worse and it's going to get more divisive.
Perhaps.
I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. So I'm going to have this conversation with my students. I'm sure racism will come up at some point. Where they'll say, "Oh yeah, you were alive. Like you were in college during all of those riots and protests, right? Like what was it like?" And then I'll probably get up on my soapbox and give this. I'm like, human beings are not inherently racist. We are tribal. We were literally, like, for thousands of years, we were tribal creatures. It's only in the last maybe 1,000 years that we've become, like, widespread civilized. And in that time, I mean, like, up until that point, we were still, like, doing kingdoms. And you were there, you protected your kingdom. Kingdoms were small. They were not big. And so you protected your kingdom. Someone would attack your kingdom. You would get together with all the people in your village, in your kingdom, and like you knew most of them, and then you go on to fight off this threat. It's how we've always been. It's only recently we've become this big globalized race. But we still have all of that biology ingrained into us, like that belief system that we need to protect us and ours and people who are, you know, in the same vicinity as us, that have our same systems of beliefs and stuff. So when it comes down to it, JD, if you were to walk into a room,
mm-hmm.
and you saw a big group of people who liked anime and a big group of people who liked football, and they were talking about those respective things, who would you go and talk to?
I would leave.
If you had to go and talk to one of them, who would you talk to? Okay, different question. If you walked into a room, this is the one I usually use. If you walked into a room and you saw a bigger group of people who were LDS and talking about LDS stuff, and a big group of people who were very vocally flat earthers, who would you probably go talk to? You have to answer this.
I might start with the flat earthers.
Dang it. You get what I'm saying,
though. I know what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying.
The problem is, I just think that's so funny.
Okay.
I have to hear what they're saying.
Okay. And you saw a bigger group of people who were Catholic. Group of people who were LDS, group of people who were Catholic.
Talking about Catholic theology and LDS theology?
I mean, not necessarily they're talking about it, but those are the type of people, and you know for a fact that these are the type of people on both sides of the room. Who would you probably go talk to? Would you prefer to go talk to people who are like-minded or people who really think nothing like you?
Well, gee. You know, the problem with asking me this question is because I know the answer that I'm supposed to give.
the moment I started doing this, I thought, I can't ask this to JD because he will screw it up.
Well, no, because my answer is always going to be whichever group seems more interesting to talk to.
Yeah.
I don't care about what color they are. I don't care about what height they are. Gender does not matter. If I walk into a room and group A is talking about subject B and group B is talking about subject A, I will watch them for a minute, and whichever one seems more interesting, I will go to. But I'll probably not say anything because I'm an ambivert.
Yeah.
If I don't know any of them, I'm not talking to any of them.
Yeah. Okay. But you see, like, when I'm in a high school setting, when I'm teaching to high schoolers, I'm talking to all these high schoolers. Let's say there's a group of theater kids and there's a group of jocks. I'll talk to the jocks. I'll be like, hey, you guys, if you walk into an assembly and you see a big group of theater kids and you see a big group of jocks, you are brand new at this school. You have never met anyone before. And you are the type of person who wants to go and meet people. You see a big group of guys wearing Letterman football jackets and you see a big group of kids wearing a bunch of theater shirts. And you know theater kids when you see them. They're loud and they're obnoxious and they usually dress weird.
Yep.
Who would you probably go talk to? The jocks would say you'd probably go talk to the jocks. The theater kids would say I'd probably go talk to the theater kids. I could say, well, you're a racist for that. Because that's how the racist meant, that's how, like, calling people racist, that's how that mentality works. Mm-hmm. Is saying, if you are a tribal creature, if you are buying into your biological instinct to gravitate toward a group of people who you feel comfortable and safe with, then you're a racist.
There was a solid, like, 4 months after my mission that I would rather be around Jamaicans than white folks.
So, when it comes down to it, if you're raised with the majority people being white, then you're going to be more comfortable around white people because that's who you're raised around.
Well, okay, and then it also comes down to, like, you see this thing where, what's the lyric? There's a song called I Can Only Write My Name. I Can Only Write My Name, I forget who it's by. But one of the lyrics is, it's hard to see yourself in Superman when he looks nothing like you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a little bit of a commentary on race, for sure, because he's Asian. And the fellow singing the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. I, as a white fellow that claims to be ethnically Jewish but can't prove anything I've ever said, I cannot look at Chadwick Boseman as the Black Panther and say, wow, he's just like me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a white kid with curly hair and a big nose, like a big straight nose. And Chadwick Boseman was a handsome, handsome black man with like the tight, thick, curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
He had the wide set nose. He had the large jawline.
Prominent jawline,
which are predominantly African traits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just facts. If you think that saying that is racist, you are literally what's wrong with this country and planet. And I hope you die terribly or learn the error of your ways, because frankly, that mentality is toxic and we don't need it.
So I'm curious. Do you support what I'm saying, that we are not inherently racist creatures, but we are inherently tribal?
I don't think anybody's inherently racist, because...
No, but do you believe that we are inherently tribal creatures? Yeah. Like, we are biologically predisposed to gravitate toward a group of people who look and think like us.
No, I agree with that, because it... I agree with that because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you want to be seeing and around things that you can relate to immediately. You're not going to instantly relate to somebody that doesn't look like you, and that's the bottom line. That doesn't mean that you're treating them differently. Because racism, I'm sorry if you use a definition of racism that plays to your agenda, but you're using the wrong definition if your definition is not. And, you know, I'll even pull up the Oxford Dictionary definition.
I actually talked to someone, and I dropped this on him the other day.
Because the Oxford... Whatever you're about to say about racism, this is the Oxford Dictionary definition, okay? This is the most accredited dictionary. If you use a different definition, you are using a less accredited definition than what I'm about to present
to you. You're getting really fired up about this.
I'm so mad about this.
It's pretty cool.
I'm mad. Prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against a person or people on their basis of their membership of a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized. Typically, emphasized. Here's the thing that you're doing wrong if you define it as someone in power oppressing someone out of power on a basis of race. That, although is racism, you don't have to be in power to be a racist.
No.
In Jamaica, third world country, I was white. I genuinely felt like I held more power than any Jamaican because the police will respond to a white person's call first.
Mm-hmm.
The United States will come in and clap down on them because I was representing the U.S., right?
Well, and tell me... you told me a story one time.
Right, I'm getting to it. I walked into a store and we called for the guy. He walks in, he looks at us and he says, I don't serve white people. Turned around and walked out.
If you did that in the United States and you said, like, I don't serve black people, can you imagine the public outcry?
But the thing I'm saying is, I had more power than that man, because in my pocket, I had more money than he was going to make that week. In my pocket, I had a phone. I could call the United States Embassy and go back to the U.S. I could leave the third world country that I was in. Don't get me wrong. I loved Jamaica. I loved Jamaicans. In that moment, that man was racist to me. I was literally discriminated against based on race. He was not necessarily in a position of power over me because, oh, he owned the shop. Okay, there was another shop across the street. We crossed the street and got what we were looking for. He didn't oppress me based on power. He refused me service based on my skin color, which is racism. If I said to you, Tanner, I absolutely despise you because your eyes are brown, therefore you are some form of mutt somewhere along the line, and I hate that, I'm disgusted by it, and then you look at me and you're like, you're like a quarter Jewish.
you're like, no, I can't say that on the air, but... No, you can't. But,
right, like, it's like, I'm just like so like flustered and frustrated with all of these people out there that are like, oh, you can, if you were white, you were born racist. You know how that's, like, damaging to tell a child? If you sit down a kid, okay? Ready? Here's your example. If I sit a kid
I'm getting
down,
anxiety about that, like, just that, like, from 5 seconds ago when you started this, I started getting anxiety about it because I totally get what you're about to say and I'm really mad about
it. If you sit down a kid, 6, 7 years old, and you say to the kid, because of the skin color you have, you are a worse person and you should feel bad about the fact that you were born.
Mm-hmm.
That's racist, and that's going to damage that kid for the rest of their life. And people are doing that today to white kids.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because black people, Latinos, they're all being marginalized in society, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, this is a really hot take. If the media is on your side, you are not the resistance. Stop thinking that you are. Because you are supported by all the mainstream media, you're supported by all of these majority groups, you're not saying controversial opinions. What I'm saying right now is more controversial than you saying ACAB or Black Lives Matter. Because we get it, okay? Mm-hmm. We get it. Black Lives Matter. Any life that is put in danger, any life period that's ever come onto this planet matters. And I get that that's like, oh, you're saying all lives matter. The point of Black Lives Matter is saying, oh, they're disproportionately discriminated against. I know what you're saying. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying right now is that believing that anyone, for any reason, is worse or different because of the skin color they were born with is racist. Even if I'm white and I sit here and I think to myself, my gosh, you know, I read White Fragility and, you know, I'm just inherently a racist. Like, I have racist tendencies because that's the way I was born. That's racist against your own people. You're isolating them. You're isolating yourself. You're abandoning history and culture for the sake of a white woman that has paid thousands of dollars to walk into a room full of white people and tell them why they're racist. I'm sorry, but that confuses me now too because, you know, if white people can't really talk about racism, if white people don't really understand racism, why does this white woman know so much? And why do people pay her so much? I don't get it. And I have read, I have studied, I have researched, and it always circles back around to I'm inherently bad because of my skin color, and that's okay for anybody to say to a white man, but not anybody else. Do I hold social standing? Do people even know who I am? I don't have power. I don't have authority. And if you can only oppress somebody from power and authority, by the way, that means that you can be racist to white people, but not Jews. You can look into that yourselves, dear listeners. This is just something that frustrates me so greatly because if you have never been rude to someone or discriminated against someone based on the color of their skin, ever, period, then you are not racist. If you did that in the past and don't anymore and think that that's a backwards way of thinking, you're not racist. You're not a racist because of your skin color. That is a racist way of thinking. And I'm so sick of the current political climate trying to tell me, oh, you know, vote this way because you're a racist. Vote that way because you're not. And you're guaranteed to be a racist. Like, all these things are just disgusting perversions of the way society should be. This is intentionally divisive. 4 years ago, I feel like racial tensions were a lot better in the United States. I don't feel like they were as bad as they are now. And now today, you know, there's this huge focus on the inherent racism of white folks that makes it so it's like, hey, now I feel kind of uncomfortable being around people of other races. Not because of them, But because I'm so desperately afraid that I will misstep somehow and my life ends. Sky Jackson doxed a 13-year-old kid, got both of his parents fired and him expelled from school because he said a racial slur online. That's disgusting. I don't care if he said a racial slur, you just ruined his entire life. He's 13. Your goal wasn't to educate and instruct him. Your goal wasn't to fix the problem. Your goal was to cause damage and then feel good about it. And that's disgusting. That's racism. That's what's wrong with this country. That's wrong with the people of this world. Is that nobody wants to fix the problems. They just want to pour gasoline on the fire and know they were responsible for the burn. And I'm so tired. I'm so tired of watching it happen. This is why I tend to avoid politics, by the way, because
that was an unbelievable monologue. Like that
I get so flustered.
We need to go back over that. We need to go back and listen to it, record it, and then transcribe it and turn it into a monologue. Because it was good. Like I'll be totally honest, it was good.
This is just like, if you're ever like, hey, why is he just sitting there like angry on social media? Like, why doesn't he post anymore? Yeah. If you could be just straight back. We've only got three left.
We're at 50 minutes. We could probably do it in 50 minutes. The last thing I want to say on this topic is that when you were voting, if you would vote Mitt Romney or Barack Obama,
jeez,
you could still go to a cookout with your neighbors and say, who'd you vote for? Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. Why not? Well, why'd you vote them? It was getting a little bit more inflammatory. I remember one time I accidentally parked next to a guy. I parked too close to his car and I went into the store and I didn't notice. I was 16. I was 16 years old at the time. Dude comes into the store. He starts like railing. He's like, some said bad words. And then he was like, some guy parked next to my car and I can't get into it. I want to know who it is right now. I was like, sir, I'm so sorry. That was me. I walked out. He was like yelling at me from behind me. I was driving my dad's car. My dad had a Mitt Romney sticker on the back of the car. Dude walked up to the car, and I will say verbatim what he said, because I was 16, it traumatized me. And he said, I'm really glad you had a Mitt Romney sticker on the back, because if you had an Obama sticker, I would have beaten your ass. I was 16. This dude was like in his at least mid-40s. So, it was getting inflammatory, but not nearly as bad as it is now. I mean,
I'm so baffled that, like, political opinions are the bearing of what makes you a good or bad person.
So what I'm saying now,
think that what I think should be a human right should be commodified so that it's a competitive market? What's wrong with you? What are you? The devil?
So what I'm saying is now, I mean, I looked. I was on social media today. I never post about politics on social media. Unless it's something that is good, that is purely good news that you cannot twist into bad news, or you cannot, because if I post about how great Trump is, then people will be mad about it. If I post about how awful Trump is, people will get mad about it. But if I post that Trump allocated $479 million to a human trafficking fund, no one can twist that. That is purely good news.
If you talk about how, no, never mind. I won't say that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't go there.
I was about to go inflammatory because of something that happened.
But what I'm saying,
like within the last 24 hours, I've just become so mad at Nancy Pelosi.
So what I'm saying is, I looked, and today on social media, I saw somebody post, if you vote for Trump, you are a racist. And I saw somebody post, if you vote for Joe Biden, you are anti-American and pro-communist, and you don't want freedom.
Well, you're right. Or like the, if you vote for Trump, then you're a racist, right? Like, that's the one I see most often.
Mm-hmm.
If you vote for Biden, you're a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other one that I see most commonly.
Those are not... I want to use the word pejoratively, but I actually don't know what it means.
It's just so confusing, like...
Hang on, I need to look that up.
If I voted for Joe Biden, why does that make it so I'm a pedophile?
It doesn't.
Why does voting for Trump make me a racist? And people can be like, oh, well, because of this and that, and it's like... The cages at the border that were started during the Obama administration.
No, I was using that word wrong. But those are not, like, those statements are not objectively true. I mean, like, see, here's the thing. There are racist people who will vote for Donald Trump, and there are pedophiles who will vote for Biden. But to say that everyone who votes for Donald Trump is racist...
Like that senator that was recently caught trying to meet up with a 14-year-old boy, and they got, like, chased off by this guy that was filming it.
Totally did not know that.
Bro, that just happened, like, this last week.
No way.
And, like, he's, like, an avid Biden supporter.
No way.
That's crazy, nothing against Joe Biden in that statement. I just think that's, like, it's not funny because, you know, like...
That's horrifying.
Like, that's a horrible thing. But a senator?
A senator? Is he gonna get, like...
I don't know.
Well, you need to send me, like, links on
I'll send you the video, and I'll send you the tweets.
Yeah, because I want to follow it.
No, that's, like, that's something that I will find for you tonight.
So the thing is, to say that everyone... First thing, to say that everyone who votes... To actually view the situation and saying, if you vote for Trump, you are a terrible person, I don't want to be friends with you, that robs you of so many potential friends. To say that voting for Biden makes you a terrible person and you will not be friends with them, that robs you of potential relationships that could be beneficial to your life.
And it's the same thing. When people were like, if you don't say anything about the BLM riots right now, then I'm not friends with you anymore. And it's like, what is my... I really am genuinely curious. What is me adding my voice to the literal entire country's voice going to do that's different? Here's the thing. I haven't mentioned this like to anybody. I donated to the BLM stuff.
Did you really?
I donated money.
Wow. Interesting.
Never talked about it. Do you know why?
Why? Because it didn't... Because you're not virtue signaling. You're not like, this is...
Because,
like,
social media advocacy is selfish.
Because I'm not... I'm such a wonderful person. I'm such a great person. Right.
Like, if I wanted to do that kind of thing, then everybody would know about the humanitarian trip I took to Ecuador. Everybody would know about the money that I donated to BLM. Everybody would know about, like, all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows about these things that I did because I don't do them for me.
You do them because you're a good person.
Now I feel like a hypocrite for bringing it up in this example, because that's just the way my brain works.
It was an example. It's an example. It was not. It's not you actually proclaiming that you're such a great person.
Well, I'm
not. You are a good person, but it's not you. It's you providing.
I mean, I'm not proclaiming.
That's you providing an example for why this is all messed up. This whole situation is messed up, and how
social
like
media.
And me saying and the thing saying. Like, I made the executive decision of myself a long time ago. I said, I will never post about politics on social media. Immediately following Donald Trump's election, I made the decision that I would never post about politics on social media ever. I just made that decision that I would not do that unless, as I said before, it is objectively good news that cannot be twisted for me having a political bias.
The one thing I said on social media that was political at all in the last few months that wasn't like an absolute...
You gotta speak up.
Absolute just classic funny jokes, right? I don't even think I made any of those. I tweeted the Martin Luther King quote, the "we may have all arrived on different ships, but we're in the same boat now."
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I had to say because that's really... what it comes down to. I think we should move on.
It's a good conversation.
It's a good conversation, but I do think we should move on.
Just for sake of time.
Well, for the sake of time and for the fact that, like, I'm skirting around sharing, like, genuine political beliefs as much as I can.
Yeah, and I think I've said all I need to say.
I feel like I have too, but here's a bottom line for you, dear listener. You don't know me at all. If you think you know me from this conversation that me and Tanner have had, then you are far from accurate or correct. If you want to know my political opinions and views and beliefs, then be my friend and ask me with an open mind. And I will tell you what I believe and why, because I am what's called a centrist extremist.
I think we're on the same page.
I took a political compass test recently and I was within the centrist range.
Yeah, me too.
I have no weak political opinions. I will die on every hill I'm willing to stand on.
It's true.
And they are across the board. I have left, right, authoritarian, libertarian, everything. I have strong opinions on every side of the board. So I identify as an independent. If you want to know who I'm voting for, you don't get to. But I'm not affiliated with any political party because I don't think that any of them represent me.
No, I don't do political parties.
So
unless the United States somehow radically transitions to a representative democracy,
which would be cool,
very cool.
So I'm just letting you know, dear listener, that you cannot make any assumptions on the character of me or Tanner based on this conversation.
No,
because, you know, if you disagree, I actually do want to hear it this time. If you disagree with anything that we've said, tell us what and why. And don't get angry and inflammatory, because we'll do our best not to do that to you.
Well, I mean, you and I don't really do that very
much. I just want... Look, if you have a different perspective, this is one of those times that I genuinely want to hear it. And why? Because I don't want to have the wrong belief. Like, if I'm actually objectively wrong and you can show me why, and, absolutely it's not a matter of opinion, like, I've said things that are genuinely wrong here, and you can prove it, please do. But don't do it in, like, a high and mighty matter-of-fact way, because that'll just make me never talk to you again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to deal with toxicity.
No. No, we don't do that.
That's because, not the game. But, like, genuinely, if you disagree, that's fine. And I want to hear what you believe and why. Like, why you believe that. What it means to you. But if you start bringing up stuff that we didn't mention here, then I'm not going to care.
And no personal attacks. They don't work. And they will immediately discredit.
They'll everything. Make me feel bad and I'll block you.
So the thing is, if you ever use a personal attack in any kind of debate, you immediately use all credibility. Lose all credibility. Did I say use?
Yeah, you said use.
Yeah. So you immediately lose all credibility, at least to me.
But, yeah. So that's just, like, the bottom line here is, like, if you disagree with what we've said, let us know this time.
And don't just immediately...
And, like, approach it as a conversation.
Yeah,
because
we want to
maybe
learn.
I misspoke at some point. Maybe I said something that I don't actually believe. I got heated.
You did heat. You get it heated. It was good, though. But here's the thing. JD and I love to learn. We love to learn and experience the world and experience life. We want to be well-rounded people. Like that is a desire that we have.
For the last 7 months, when people said, who are you voting for? I said, I don't know enough yet.
Yeah.
And now the answer is, I'm not telling you.
Yeah, I just say I'm not telling
well,
you.
Well, because I didn't feel like I knew enough about the camp. I don't care about the character of the people. By the way, I'm going to say this for the record. I care about their policies. I'm voting for who agrees with me politically the most. I'm not voting for who I think is a good person. I'm voting for who has the policies that I think are the most beneficial. Overall.
You're looking for a leader, not a friend.
As much as I love that Trump emails me daily asking me to meet him, that's not what's going to get me to vote in this election. That's what's going to get me to, like, take screenshots and laugh at it. But
my absolute favorite thing is that you have told me many times you have no recollection of ever giving anyone your email.
I definitely didn't give them my personal name.
now they address.
They call me JD.
And now they email you and address you directly as your not even your name, but your
my nickname. They call me JD.
Your preferred title.
Right. That's not what's going to buy my vote. I really need to find out how to get the Biden emails too, because I'm sure they're just as sexual.
Okay, let's move on.
If you could be best friends with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Living or dead?
Anyone in the world.
Anyone in the world, okay.
So I think living. Here, I'm going to feed your ego, dear listener. Oh, well, I pick you, silly. And now I'm going to think about a...
that's pretty big. I was going to say the Dalai Lama, but...
I'm going to think about a different answer, but that... Genuine... There's some truth to what I just said to you, and you know who you are. Wink, smooch, haha, JK, unless...
Oh no.
It's over. I died. We should have ended on that. There's two more questions though.
Are they big questions or are they
short?
No,
they're little ones.
No, we could just do the short ones.
Well, no. I mean we should have ended on that awesome joke I just told. JK and
Les.
That's my favorite joke to make these days.
For me, honestly, I think I would say the Dalai Lama, cuz I think he'd be just a really cool person to be friends with. There are other people. Jeff Bezos, because he'd probably give me money. Yeah, that's a selfish thing. I don't think Jeff Bezos would and I would get along very well.
I'm just going to list a couple of people that I think would just be fun to be friends with.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Chris O'Neill, Zach Hadle, Brendan Urie. I think it would be super fun to just be, like, really good friends with somebody like Keanu Reeves or Tobey Maguire.
Why Tobey Maguire? I know why Keanu... Well, sorry, I totally just...
Bro, because Tobey Maguire is funny.
Is he a really cool guy?
I don't care.
The thing is, I don't know
He seems so cool to me. But,
Tobey Maguire is a cool guy.
Yo, Christopher Nolan?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I just want to know what's going on with his brain.
I feel like he's tapped into, like, the universe.
Yeah, he's plugged in.
He is plugged into the universe. I would say, Elon Musk
would be fun, but it's just like I'm just trying to think about
just
like,
because like
so most of my first answers were people that I genuinely think I would just have fun being friends with them.
And here, after saying Jeff Bezos, I feel like I need to redeem myself a little bit because I said Jeff Bezos for money. Elon Musk, not for money, but because he's visionary. He's an extremely visionary person. And I want to,
Well, if you didn't say Bezos, I would have.
Yeah. So, and Elon Musk, because I would want to ask him lots of questions about what he sees in the future and how he saw the past. Like, in the past, how he saw the future and how he's realized it.
How he's adjusted.
And how he plans to realize his vision for the future.
You know something
and
sad?
And what he sees. Yeah.
I made a list of all the famous people I wanted to meet in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
In middle high school, somewhere in that range. Within 2 years, more than half of them died.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah. I was like I had the list on my phone, and over the course of like 3 or 4 years, we got down to like two of them still being alive, so I deleted the note. I was like, this is, I made a death note. Like,
I was going to say death note.
They were genuinely like dropping. Like Gene Wilder died. Robin Williams died like the week after I made the list.
Okay, we can move on to the next two questions. Just finish off.
Okay. Yeah, so I hope that satisfied your question, dear listeners.
Yeah, if I think of more by the end of the night, I will say them.
What kids' movie left you scarred as a kid?
The Dark Crystal.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Never seen it.
Large Marge.
Never seen it.
Never forgot.
I'm sure there are others. Let me think
about
it.
Dark Crystal's awesome. If Jim Henson were still alive.
Dude, I was little. It freaked me out.
Oh, I watched it as a kid.
Dude, it scared the crap out of me.
Yo, Beetlejuice scared me.
I never saw Beetlejuice.
You still haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I
really like Beetlejuice.
No, a lot of people say that Coraline scarred them as a kid.
I loved Coraline.
Dude, it didn't scar me. Like, I thought it was creepy, but
the
it did not scar me.
The book was scarier than the movie.
It did not scar me.
That's words like, on
it
pages.
Was, like, it was creepy, but it did not scar me.
No, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Large Marge. I don't remember a thing about that movie other than being terrified of Large Marge. It took me years to find out that was Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
No, yeah, really.
Because I only walked in on the Large Marge scene. I've never seen that movie.
Yeah.
I just saw Large Marge, like, do the scary thing with her face.
No, The Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal scared the crap out of me as a kid. And also, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
What?
I only saw
the melting Nazis?
Yeah, I only saw the very, very end with the melting
Nazis.
That
movie's good. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The very end when he turns into a skeleton.
Okay.
Yeah, that scared the crap out of me as a
like
kid.
Like Spider-Man 1 skeleton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last question.
What's your opinion on big spiders versus little spiders? I think the big spider wins in the fight every time. I don't know.
Gilgamesh, the consumer of reality versus Maurice. I love
spiders.
I love holding big spiders.
I genuinely like spiders.
See, I don't like little spiders. Little spiders creep me out. Big spiders do not. Big spiders do not scare me. Big spiders don't scare me because I want to hold them and I want to touch them and feel what they feel like. Little spiders scare me because I can lose them. I can, like, suddenly they're gone and I don't know where they went. They can hide very easily. And then I don't like the feeling of little tiny legs on my body. I don't like that.
This is bigger than your hand?
I don't like that.
They were in Jamaica.
Is that a picture you took?
No.
Oh.
No, that's... No. Huntsman spiders?
See,
terrifying.
See,
banana
like,
spiders? Do you know how freaking huge banana spiders are?
No.
Oh my
gosh. I'll look one up right now.
All the spiders in Jamaica were like huge and freaky.
Jamaica's like mini Australia.
I couldn't help but just take pictures of them. Oh, doctor birds are so pretty. Unrelated, but that's a gorgeous bird.
Oh, dude, those are creepy looking.
Banana spiders?
Those are creepy looking.
Yeah, dude. They're huge.
Are they venomous?
I don't know.
Golden silk orb weavers?
That's a cool name.
That is a cool name. Banana spiders is cooler.
Look up banana spider, go to YouTube and look up banana spiders Jamaica.
Okay, so while I'm doing
this. We can watch that later.
No, I'm already on it. So anyway, I love to hold big spiders. Particularly tarantulas.
Cool.
I think tarantulas are super cool.
Spiders have really, like, typically have really low, cardiovascular endurance.
Oh, they're trying to give me... They give me the same political ad over and over and over again. I know it's a targeted
ad
because
every
because it's against somebody that I voted for, like, in the local election.
Every single ad I see, I hit the little I and I say, stop seeing this ad because it's inappropriate. And that'll instantly skip the ad on YouTube.
Nice. Hang on. Ooh. Whoa! That's huge.
Yeah, dude. And they were everywhere in my first
those
day.
Are dude, those are like, that's nightmare fuel.
Yeah. You know how many times I almost walked straight into one?
Because here's the thing is that like spiders
a lot. Sister Robinson, why were there so many around your house?
Here's the thing: is I like big spiders with fat legs. Like if they have the big, huge, like tarantulas, if they have like the big legs, they don't freak me out. It's the little tiny spindly legs that freak me out.
Yo, so there were some missionaries that had a banana spider that like lived in like the alcove of their house, like up in the veranda.
No way.
And they named it Shelob. And they
they'd
catch like the tiny little baby frogs and throw them up in its web.
And like watch Shelob eat it.
Yeah, they literally had a video of Shelob eating a frog that they showed me.
That's sweet.
I was like, holy crap, you guys are weird. And then one of them got transferred out and the new guy that came in killed Shelob.
No.
Yeah, he was, the guy that got transferred out was pissed. He was like out for blood.
All right, well, I think it's going to do it for today. We have gotten a solid 70 minutes of content.
Sweet. Let's just conclude with a few words.
All right. I'm going to let you take this because I have no idea what you're about to say.
Oh, dear listener. If you've made it this far into this episode or even this podcast series, I just want to let you know that I appreciate your time. I appreciate you. I value your questions and your feedback that you don't give us. I value you as an individual. I hope you understand that much of what we say is very heat-of-the-moment things that we've said. For example, after some thought, I hate the name Annabeth. We said that a few weeks ago.
Now, here's the thing is, when you said that, I thought, I actually don't remember most of what we talk about on this show. I know you have, like, a photographic memory.
Yeah, if we ever say anything that you disagree with or it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. I genuinely am. Not that we said it, but that you're offended.
We don't intend to hurt anyone's feelings, and if
you genuinely disagree, let us know and tell us why.
And if your feelings get hurt by something we say, I'm just going to be honest and say you are putting far too much stock in our belief systems.
Yeah, because, like, straight up, my belief system is based on I agree with whatever can present to me the most evidence that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, man, they said something that I don't like, well, then tell me why you don't like it. And really give me some details. Make it a conversation.
JD's mind can be changed.
Yeah, it just, you have to be right.
It just takes a lot.
You have to be right.
which is a lot. Because if you can take something that he genuinely believes to be fact and disprove it, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because JD does a lot of research.
I like to consider myself well-researched because I just get so frustrated that I need to be right.
And if you see like a point that makes you mad,
if
you're like me, if you see someone post specifically something on social media that makes you angry, I will always go and fact check it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If I said something that you disagree with and you genuinely change my mind, 100% chance that the next week I will mention it on the podcast and rescind what I said and be like, look, here's the deal. Here's what's up. Here's what I learned. Here's what's real. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to spread misinformation.
No, misinformation is the one thing on this planet that I literally hate. When I see people spreading misinformation, it makes me actually physically angry.
And if we're guilty of it, tell us and explain it.
Yes,
why?
Please.
Give us sources and we will rectify.
We will rectify. We will rescind our statements.
And we'll do everything we can. Like, I will advocate for the truth. As long as I can know that it's true.
So,
but what I'm saying here is that I appreciate you. I'm glad that you've made it this far. I'm glad that you're still with us. Let me get a little bit more intimate with you here.
Yeah. Maybe we should turn the gain up a little bit.
We're going to do a little bit of ASMR.
It's picking it up.
Let me just kind of get like really close to the mic. I'm going to talk really gently to you, but I'm really close right now. So you can hear me as long as you're wearing headphones. This is, ideally you'd be wearing headphones right now. I'm going to make some nice sounds for you. Sorry, I couldn't even do another one after that. I don't even know if it got...
Come away from the mic.
Sorry, sorry.
That was really loud.
Sorry. Hold on. I just really want you to know how much I appreciate you and value you as an individual. Not for what you do for me, but for who you are as a person. If you haven't heard it in a while, I love you. I'm proud of you. You make good decisions. I'm glad to have you in my life. I hope you stay. Anyway.
The thing is, you can't objectively prove any of that.
What do you mean?
Okay, very last thing I want to say. JD and I went to the zoo tonight. And I just realized the tickets that they gave us say... They say Boo Lights Adult Event.
That sounds kind of slutty.
Yeah, it says Boo Lights Adult Event. I kind of want to keep this.
That sounds sexy.
I kind of want to display this somewhere.
If any of you out there want to make a Boo Lights Adult Event with me, hit me up.
It says Boo Lights Adult Event, and I kind of want to like just present it somewhere so that someday, like 6 years down the line, I'm going to be, you know, intimately friends with somebody new. I'm going to suddenly like bring someone into my home, and they'll see this ticket, and they'll say, Boo Lights Adult Event, what is that? And I'll just, you know me, I'll just respond like, nah, it was a long time ago. I don't really like to talk about it. And they're like, why'd you display it? Well, it was really important to me. Something big happened. And I just,
Yeah, we saw a tiger. That lion was roaring.
So, yeah, we heard a legitimate lion roar.
He was just sitting there like, oh, for so long.
He roared like 6 times in a row, just like, rhythmic roaring.
Yeah, I thought it was like a fake thing.
No, yeah, I thought it was an animatronic at first.
And then we saw him. He was loud.
He was this big
lion. I have a hard time believing, like, I get it. Like, I know for a fact Frank Welker did most of the sounds for The Lion King, but holy crap, that guy was loud.
Some dude with a trash can.
Frank Welker.
Named Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well,
do not diminish Frank Welker down to a guy with a trash can named Frank.
I saw a Tumblr post.
I know you saw that. A Tumblr post, but do you know what he voiced?
Yes, I know.
He does so much.
Frank Welker is a cool guy.
All right, let's close it the way we always
do. Close it the way we always do.
Hands in the middle.
One, two, three.
Monkey. Because, you know, return to monkey.